Do you need help protecting your finances as you enter retirement? David Dickens of KC Financial Advisors has got you covered. Welcome to the Cover Your Assets KC podcast.
Welcome to another edition of Cover Your Assets KC, the podcast that's going to help you get a little smarter when it comes to your financial life and hopefully make for a better financial plan with some of the education that we'll cover on today's podcast. I'm Walter Storholt alongside David Dickens, President and Wealth Advisor at KC Financial Advisors. Hey, David, how's it going this week?
It's going really well this week, Walter. Looking forward to today's show. I think we're going to have a really good topic.
You were telling me off air just about all the golfing that you do, and it sounds like your scores are, you know, getting lower and lower now that the weather's good and you're getting out there more and more often, right?
Well, you know, on any given day, they can be low or high. As anybody who's listening, if you're a golfer, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But today's a beautiful day in Kansas City. I'm meeting my wife for 9 holes after work, and so, you know, even if I don't play so well, it'll be a really nice evening.
As long as you have a good meal afterward, that's all that counts, right?
Exactly. And a cold beverage.
Yeah, that's right. Very cool. We've got a fun show on the way for today. We'll set the stage off right for you today, David, before you go out for that golf game. We're going to talk about two strategies you can use now if tax rates are going to be higher in the future. So, David, before we get into those two strategies, there's a particular reason why we're saying tax rates higher in the future. Why do you think that they could go that direction?
Yeah, so I'm totally convinced that tax rates in America have to go higher. If you look at any kind of historical chart, you know that our tax rates are historically low right now. You probably also know that we have a $22 trillion national debt that we add to by about $1 trillion a year. So, Walter, the word trillion is kind of hard to get your head around.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, you know, like Dr. Evil, you know, the $1 trillion. I think even in his day, it was billion. Just a couple of, you know, just a decade ago, it was billions. Now we're in trillions, right?
So here's a way to think about this. We'd probably all agree, you and I and the vast majority of our listeners would agree that $10 million is a lot of money.
Yeah, I'll concede that point.
If you would have spent $10 million a day since the birth of Christ, you would not have spent $22 trillion.
Wow, that's kind of hard to fathom. I would have guessed that you most certainly would have.
I'm thinking that a lot of people are hitting their rewind button
per day
podcast to hear that again. But yeah, $10 million a day since the birth of Christ, you would not have spent $22 trillion. So we have a really, really large deficit, a large debt, and a $1 trillion deficit adding to it every year. In the year 2000, our debt was only about $5.5 trillion. So we are building this thing at an unsustainable rate. There's a thing in Washington, D.C. called the Congressional Budget Office, the CBO. And in 2015, it sent a memo to then Speaker of the House Paul Ryan. And basically what it said, the part I was interested in, it said that if we keep doing this, that eventually and very soon into the future, our tax rates need to double. They need to double just to pay for Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid and interest on the debt and national security and all the other stuff that our U.S. government does. They'd have to double. And so I'm thinking, when I first read that, I'm like, wow, that sounds kind of crazy.
Kind of dramatic, yes.
Kind of dramatic. But if you look back to the early 1960s, our tax rates were double what they are today. Virtually across the board, low taxpayers, high taxpayers, everybody's rate was double. So I don't think it's crazy at all that tax rates are going to go up some and maybe a lot in the future. So I think if you happen to be listening to this and you're already convinced of that, or if you just became convinced of that, the question is, would I like to know a couple of strategies now that could help me avoid some of that pain later? And that's what this podcast is about. Two really good ideas that you can use now to reduce your future tax liability, which are going to be especially important if tax rates rise.
David, I'm over here and I was secretly doing some math while you were explaining that situation further. So you ready for this? $7,369,350,000,000. That's how much money, if you spent $10 million a day since the birth of Christ, if you took it all the way to the end of 2019, because I wasn't about to break it down, you know, to the actual day, of course. But yeah, over 7 $1 trillion is what you would have accumulated. That's still quite a far cry from 20 plus at this point.
Yeah. So the real answer is you'd have had to spend 25 or 30 million a day.
Exactly.
It's a crazy number. And most of it, it's so crazy for most of us, we've totally lost sight of it. However, eventually, the tax man, Congress, has to recognize this as a significant problem. They can't keep kicking the can down the road. And we're going to want to know, we're going to wish we knew then what I'm getting ready to talk about, what you and I are getting ready to talk about right now, while you still have time to make some changes in your financial life.
All right, you have me hooked after that compelling stat. I'm ready. What's strategy number one if tax rates are going up in the future?
The best and easiest and most available to everyone is something called a Roth. Now, it doesn't matter if it's a Roth IRA or a Roth 401k. Any savings vehicle that starts with the word Roth is one of your best friends right now. So, for instance, a Roth IRA is something that you can contribute to instead of your IRA. Well, let me back up and say the only difference between an IRA and a Roth IRA is when you pay your taxes. So, for instance, the vast majority of our listeners contribute to an IRA each year. And what you know is that you get a tax deduction today. What you might not know is every penny you take out of it in the future when you retire, the money you put in and every penny of growth is taxed at your highest marginal tax bracket when you take it out. If you put money into a Roth, you're taxed today at a tax rate that you know exactly what it is today, and all the future money you take out is tax-free. So the difference between the two, which one is right for you, is whether or not your tax rate is going to be lower or higher in the future. If it's going to be lower, then you should take the tax deduction now, put it in the IRA. But if you think your tax rate is going to be the same or higher in the future, the Roth is the better choice. How much can you put in a Roth IRA? Not very much. So if you're under 50, you can put in $6,000 a year. If you're over 50, you can put in $7,000 a year. But you might be lucky enough to work at a company that offers a Roth 401k. In that case, you can put $19,000 a year if you're under 50 and $25,000 a year if you're over 50. If you're lucky enough to work for a company that puts in a match, their matched amount is going to go into the regular 401k, but you have a choice. You can either put it in the 401k or the Roth 401k. And in a future podcast, actually in our very next podcast, we're going to cover Roth conversions, which is a third type of Roth. Won't go into it today because we love to keep these podcasts to about 12 to 15 minutes, but that's another way of getting even more money into a Roth. So again, how do you decide which one to put in, Roth or regular? It's really about what you believe about your future tax rates. A couple of other major benefits to a Roth. You likely know that when you turn 70 and a half and you have money in an IRA or a 401k, you have to start taking money out. That's called a required minimum distribution. It's required by the IRS, by Congress, because they want to start taxing that money. If you have money in a Roth, there is no requirement that you ever take it out. And when you die, your heirs can inherit that money tax-free. And if it's your spouse, he or she doesn't have to take money out of it if they roll it over the right way. And if it's your kids or even your grandkids, they inherit that tax-free vehicle, and they do have to take money out each year. But they can hold that tax-free vehicle, growing tax-free, for basically their lifetime. It's a tremendous inheritance vehicle as well. Anything Roth, it's a great strategy if you believe that tax rates are the same or higher in the future.
All right, so Roth equals good word for a potential retiree in the future. So that is good to keep in mind. Simplifies it. I know my wife has a Roth option in her 403b, and it's, you know, excellent that that's in there. So it's nice to be able to sometimes contribute to the traditional side of it, of the 401k, but also to be able to put aside some money in Roth as well that's above and beyond the IRA allowances. So it's nice that there is that flexibility.
It is. And if you happen to have, let's say you have a spouse that has a variable income. So in some years, if your spouse did particularly well, maybe they're in sales or some sort of incentive or bonus type of plan, maybe in the years that they do super well, you use the regular 401k. In years that are leaner, you use the Roth 401k. You can even split, you can put half of your money, half of your contribution into the Roth 401k and half into the regular 401k. The company doesn't care. It's a decision you make based on what you believe is going to benefit you the most when you are 10, 20, 30, 40 years from now in retirement.
So if you did so well that it was going to bump you into a higher tax bracket, you might want to not do the Roth that particular year, take the tax savings on that money to keep you in a lower bracket, and then, you know, the next year you might do the opposite approach.
That's exactly right. And so it's not a, I'm entertained when I hear the term no-brainer. I don't know of that many no-brainer decisions in life. This isn't a no-brainer decision, but it's absolutely a decision that you want to calculate for yourself. And take this one seriously, because it's going to mean a lot to you when you get to retirement.
It's on that end of the spectrum, at least. It's toward the no-brainer end of the spectrum. Maybe not all the way there, but closer to it than not. So that's strategy number one, equaling sort of the Roth options that are available to you. What about strategy number two, David?
Yeah, so there are really only two investments in America that are truly tax-free, Roth, anything Roth, and then certain forms of cash value life insurance. Now, this gets really complicated really fast, so frankly, we ought to do a podcast alone just on it as well. But I had mentioned, actually, I think I forgot to mention, but if you're contributing to a Roth IRA, if you make too much money, then you're precluded. You're not allowed to put money into a Roth. But with this particular type of insurance policy, a cash value life insurance policy, there aren't any income limits. So you can be Bill Gates and still have one of these. There are no contribution limits. So, you know, we mentioned with 401k, you're limited to $19,000 if you're under 50. You can put as much money each year into one of these types of vehicles as you would like. There's no penalty for taking money out pre-59 and a half. The distributions, if they're taken out the right way, they come out tax-free, which is the whole point of this being the second strategy. It's funny. So this is covered under IRS, the code section 7702. And it is almost always done with an indexed universal life policy. So this is not a no-brainer, but it is interesting that most of the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies have this type of retirement vehicle. And most senators have this type of investment vehicle. There are no poor senators. They all have a lot of money. And consequently, this strategy is very good for high net worth people and for high earners that are not rich yet. The acronym for that is a HENRY, a high earner, not rich yet. So if you happen to be a high earner, not rich yet, and you're 40 to 55 years old, you're a person that would want to understand what this type of vehicle can do for you and what the downsides are. But those are the two vehicles, Roths and cash value life insurance policies, that can provide you vehicles for having tax-free income in retirement, which is mostly important to you if you believe that tax rates are going up in the future. So I'd really encourage you. These are not really great do-it-yourselfer strategies. The Roth 401k is pretty simple because you just have it taken out of your paycheck. But deciding whether you should do that is not necessarily a no-brainer do-it-yourselfer decision. So if any of this has piqued your interest, I'd encourage you, if you're a do-it-yourselfer, I'd encourage you to read a lot of different articles about this and see if it's right for you. If you have an advisor, I'd encourage you to call that person and pose these questions to them. Tell them that you're really interested in having some tax-free income when you retire. And what about these two strategies makes sense for you in the spot you're in today?
Well, if you've got any questions you want to run by David Dickens, because yes, these can be complicated decisions, but you can have them simplified when you work with somebody who's going to kind of walk you through these things. And also always be sure, just like every time here on the podcast, I feel like I say this certainly a lot, make sure that the, you know, we're talking about little elements of the financial landscape in each of these shows. And the kind of common thread is that they're all part of the bigger picture. And so just make sure that you're viewing these decisions through that bigger lens. It's not just, should I do Roth or not? It's, okay, Roth or not, but how does it fit into the whole picture? And that may change that answer. So always keep that in mind, that the bigger picture really matters here. If you want to get in touch with David, a couple of easy ways to do that. You can give a call to the office, 913-317-1414 is the number. That's 913-317-1414. And always online at coveryourassetskc.com. That's coveryourassetskc.com. You can check out past episodes of the podcast there. Read the blog. The show notes for today's episode are all listed there as well. That's coveryourassetskc.com, the place to go. David, thanks for all the help walking us through these two strategies that we can use as we keep in mind the possibility of higher tax rates in the future. I know that's something that we've got to make sure we don't lose sight of.
Yeah, I hope that was really helpful for some of our listeners. And remember, if the whole Roth discussion piqued any interest in you, then make sure you check out next week's podcast. We'll go a little bit more in depth into things you can do by converting existing IRA money into Roth IRA money. I think you'll find that piece fascinating as well.
That's coming up next week. We're right back here on Cover Your Assets KC, so be sure to join us for the next edition of the podcast. For David Dickens, I'm Walter Storholt. Until then, we'll talk to you soon. Have a great week. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and KC Financial Advisors are independent of each other.